Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
We continue a study that we began last week that we've entitled, I Promise. Looking at these places where God puts into the text of sacred scripture these promises, where God makes a statement about what he will do, and in essence he says, I promise this to you. This morning we come to a very, perhaps a familiar passage. It's certainly a precious passage to me. And if you will, if you have a Bible, if you'll follow along, I want to begin reading in verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Isaiah, under the inspiration of the scripture, speaks and then writes these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, I promise to give you strength. The promise of strength is what we want to look at this morning and take this apart. You know, we understand that we are in need of strength from the outside. I watched the children here at Bible school when I was here this week, and just to see the amount of energy they had to run and to play and to go, and it's just amazing that they have that kind of energy. I think I've shared this before, but I do have a theory about why we lose that energy when we become adults. This is not scripture. This is just my opinion, but this is what I've concluded. I think God knew that if adults had that kind of energy, we would have destroyed the world by now. I think children have the ability. They just don't have the opportunity to do so. But we understand that even for children, they will go and go and go and go until they just drop. We need strength beyond ourselves, and particularly in the spiritual realm. We need an influx of God's strength. We need a dose of God's strength. And that's what he promises this morning. God promises to provide strength to you. That's his I promise for us today. Now, how do we understand that? We read it in the text, but how do we plug into that? How do we make that part of our lives? How do we have to position ourselves so that we really are experiencing and leaning on the strength of Almighty God? How do we do that? Well, I want to suggest to you there's three, I guess we'd call them this way, call them three steps that we need to take, three places we need to position ourselves to really connect with the promise of God. And verses 28 through 29 are going to remind us of this, and this is the first place we need to be. We need to be shocked. We need to be shocked by his strength. We need to just take a good look at how big and how strong and how magnificent our God is and just kind of be rocked back on our heels and say, God, you are who you are. Well, he does that very effectively through this 40th chapter. I want to just... We don't have time to go through the whole chapter. I hope it's one that you're familiar with. I didn't want to just take a couple glances at a couple, three verses prior to verse 28, if you don't mind. You can go back to verse 1 of chapter 40. He says, comfort, yes, comfort my people. It's a statement of comfort and hope to a people that were weary. And a lot of what Isaiah had to tell them was gloom and doom and heavy. So here he speaks words of comfort. Now, the problem that they had, and then, by the way, the next section deals with John the Baptist and the prophecy concerning him, pointing to the hope of what God is coming, ultimately beyond John, that's going to be the coming of Christ. But they had a problem in their day that tripped them up over accessing God's strength. And the problem was idolatry, the worship of false gods. And Israel, again and again and again, was worshiping the gods of the pagan cultures around them. And Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Spirit, gives a series of comparisons and a series of contrasts between God and these supposed gods. And he lifts God up and expresses it this way. Look at verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? If you stick out your hand and you see that little depression there in the palm of your hand and he poured some water on your hand, the part where the water stayed, that's the hollow of your hand. So God is saying, all the waters, all the oceans, all the seas, all of the vastness of His creation, God just holds it in the hollow of His hand. You want to know how big God is compared to the so-called gods around? Take a look at that one. Verse 13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as His counselor has taught Him? With whom did He take counsel? And who had instructed Him and taught Him the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? In other words, who was God's teacher? Who was God's instructor? You know as well as I do that God had none because God needed none. Because everything there is to know, God already knows. He's infinite in His wisdom. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a plop, a drop in a bucket. They're counted as a small dust of the scales. We think of all the nations that have come and gone and all the nations of this world, they posture and they present themselves as strong and magnificent and arrogant. God just says, it's just like plop. Pretty insignificant. Verses 18 and following, He talks about this aspect of how a pagan idol is made. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare? In verse 19. The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. It's made out of this fine material. But the implication is somebody made it. Someone had to put it together. Someone had to style it. Someone had to design it. It's just a thing. It doesn't create itself. It's not self-sufficient. Now we look in our day and we say, well, you know, we don't have idolatry, at least of that kind. Yeah, we don't have idols that we fall down and worship in our culture primarily, but I'm convinced that idolatry still plagues us, and it still plagues the church. We worship the idol of self primarily. Lifting self up, I get to make all the decisions for myself. No one can tell me what to do. I can be the judge and jury of everybody and everything. I can determine what is right. I can determine what is truth. I can determine my own destiny. Oh, can you? But that's how we tend to act as humans. Someone has said it this way, today's idols are more in the self than on the shelf. And I think that is true. Verse 20, whoever is too impoverished for a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Oh, you can make this wonderful wood thing. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are like grasshoppers. I love that. That's pretty visual, isn't it? We're just like the insignificant bugs crawling around the grass. He continues this theme all the way through. And I want you to go down to verse 27 because he kind of quotes them. And this is really quoting us at times because it takes us back to this need for His strength, that we need to be shocked by His strength. You have to read verse 27 with a little bit of whine in your voice, okay? You kind of have to get whiny to read verse 27 correctly. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, and here he's quoting them, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. In other words, Lord, let me down. He's not taking up my case. He's not making justice for me in this unjust world. He's not taking care of me. Why? Verse 28, we're back to where we began. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. If we're going to plug into the strength of God, we need to lay aside the worship of self. We need to lay aside the whining about what's terrible in the world and come back and come before our God and humbly bow before Him and be shocked at how wonderful and how magnificent He is. So first of all, He is all everything. He is all everything. He's almighty. He's all knowing. He's all wise. He's all merciful. He's all gracious. You see, the word all, in every category, it's the superlative. It can be applied to God. It's why He says, have you not heard? Have you not known? The everlasting, He's eternal, the everlasting God. We just need to be, that's why we need to have worship. That's why we need to come together. That's why we need to sing the songs like we've sung. That's the reason we need to open the scriptures. It's the reason we need to be together, to be reminded, to be shocked again that God is God. He is everlasting. He's eternal. He has no end, but He also had no beginning. We who are locked into the parameters of time were created by a God who is not locked into the parameters of time. There's no limits on Him. Notice, secondly, it says, the creator of the ends of the earth, verse 28. Everything He made beautifully and wonderfully, and it reflects well on His glory. He just does all things well. We should be impressed by the creation around us. It's amazing that Satan would so twist the minds of so many people to come to believe that all of this magnificent creation, God had absolutely nothing to do with it. It all is by some random chance. And all of this and all of us were just one cosmic accident. Boy, doesn't that lift you up and make you feel good about life? We're no accidents. The God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He made everything that exists and is for His glory. He is all everything. Now look at the end of verse 28. This God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. So there it is. He neither faints nor is weary. And then he goes into this phrase. His understanding is unsearchable. That's another one of those all things. God knows everything. Everything is available to Him and open to His view. He understands. He gets it. He's wise. But he's neither faints nor is weary. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Not only should we be shocked by His strength, that He's this all in every aspect God, but He's also, we should be shocked that He's willing to share that strength with people like us. That's what it says. It's right there in the text. He gives power to whom? The weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. God wants to give you, He promises to give us strength. And we think we're so magnificent. No, we're very weak. But we come before a God who is almighty, all-knowing, all-loving, all of those things. And He's not stingy with the resources He has. He notices us. He cares. He promises to pass this reality on to us. Now verse 30 shifts gears. If we're going to plug into His strength, we need to be shocked by His strength. But secondly, you need to be shocked by your weakness as well. We need to have a good, firm view of who we really are. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I know we have a variety of ages scattered around the auditorium this morning. And some of us, we understand that our strength is limited and our strength is going downhill. But for those of you who are young and in the vitality, you know, the vital part of life and you're full of vitality, I want you to note the verse. And for all of us old people, we can kind of gloat over this one. It says, even the youths are going to faint. And the young men shall utterly fall. Okay, so don't get too critical of us people who are getting old and turning gray, okay? He's just simply saying this, that we are low on strength. You are low on strength. We have a limited amount of strength. Be shocked by your weakness and understand that we don't have much strength. We sometimes like to act like we have lots of strength. We like to act like we can do everything. Now, a lot of times if we come on a Sunday and I said, do you remember where you were exactly 1 year ago? You wouldn't remember. But on June 30th, you remember where you were 1 year ago if you were here in West Virginia. Because we were just minding our own business one Friday afternoon, late in the evening, and suddenly, a derecho, dereco, deraco, whatever you call that thing, came in. And suddenly we were in a world of hurt. The power was out, and gas was in short supply, and it was hot, and the air conditioning wasn't working. I was so thankful God in His mercy spared our church right here that we never lost power. That was a great blessing. And that Sunday we had people from other churches because they couldn't have church that came and worshiped with us. And we shared from our ice machine and let people use the freezer space we had and you come here and cool off. And we did what we could to serve. But we think we are so strong until one puff of wind comes and we realize the whole thing is hanging by a very tenuous thread. we're not very strong at all. And I don't think I have to convince you that, but emotionally and spiritually, we come quickly to that point where we say, I can't take any more of this. I can't go another step. I can't face another day. You been there? Are you there? Are you heading there? Sometimes I think God just has to bring us low so that we can see that He is lifted high. I don't know this for a fact, but sometimes I wonder if maybe we would be spared some difficulty in life if we kept our pride in check. I think sometimes we let our pride get away from us, and God has to teach us the lesson we should have learned the last time, and He has to kind of knock the props out from under us. We're low strength. And secondly, your strength will fail. There will come a point where you will, whatever strength you have, you will run out. Understand that. Plug into that. Be shocked by His strength, but also be shocked how weak we are. And then we come to the last verse. Verse 31. And in this verse is encapsulated this wonderful promise of God's strength. Now, before we even, don't bring this up yet. Because I want you to see this in the text before we go to the next point. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I've preached this. I've studied it many times. This passage. It's one of many favorites I have in the scriptures. But that word renew, I kind of bore down on it and was studying it, and it opened up a whole new understanding for me as I studied this Hebrew word that's translated renew in the English text. The word literally can be translated exchange. Those who wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength. Here's what God is promising. If you understand how big I am and how mighty I am, and if you really get it and you're humble before me, you know how weak you really are. Here's what I invite you to do. I invite you to bring your weakness to me and exchange it for my strength. That's grace on display. So this it leads us to this point, and this is really the crux of the matter. Yeah, be shocked by His strength, be shocked by your weakness, but exchange your weakness for His strength. That's what He invites you to do. Exchange your weakness for His strength. How do we do that? Well, there's three aspects to it you see right here in verse 31. First of all, you need to patiently trust in His power. Patiently trust in His power. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew or exchange their strength. I'm not a fan of waiting, are you? I mean, I keep a watch strapped to my left wrist, and I make sure it's ticking. Now, don't look at your watch now. I see some of you doing that. Sometimes I do the wrong thing. But you got an appointment, you're sitting there in the waiting room. That's not my favorite thing to do. You know, I mean, after you've read, you know, magazines that are 8 months old three times, you get a little, you know, I want to get on, let's move it. But there's a reason that you're willing to sit there in the waiting room and wait, even if you don't like it. One is you have an expectation that the wait will come to an end. There's a limit to it. And secondly, your wait will be rewarded by whatever awaits you, whoever you're seeing or whatever the next thing is. You know it's limited and it's worth the wait. This is basically what God is saying. Those who wait on me are patiently trusting in His power. You know that somehow, some way, God is going to provide what He determines to give me in this situation. And secondly, whatever He chooses to give me, it's worth waiting for. It's not just like, oh, God just must be busy with something else. No, God is saying, you just express your faith by patiently waiting and trusting in me. It allows God to set the time frames. It's allowing God... He does anyway, but we acknowledge that He is going to dictate what He chooses to do. Lord, I'm just waiting on You. It's on You. It's worth it. The answer will come, and it will be worth it because You're involved. Sometimes we don't like waiting on the Lord. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I'd like it here, and I'd like it to be this way. God says, just trust in My character. Trust in My ability. Trust in My attention to your needs. Wait patiently upon me. Don't spend your time complaining. Don't spend your time whining. Don't spend your time sulking. Just spend your time praising and waiting and confidently trusting and see what He's going to do. Then we come to the section I've already alluded to. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I want you to think with me for just a moment. What's something you need from the Lord? Where are you needing the strength of the Lord in your life? I don't think most of us are going to have too much difficulty, especially in the privacy of our own hearts, to think of what we need right now from God. Maybe it's some help because I'm facing this temptation and I don't want to fall again, but I'm prone to do that thing or that response or that action, whatever it is. And I'm pulled into it. And I know, Lord, I can't do it, but you're big enough. I need your strength through that temptation. Or perhaps it's some heartache or heartbreak or some disease or some pain you're dealing with. And I can't take this anymore, Lord. That's your need. Perhaps it's some direction in life or some answer in life. Whatever it is, you got it identified just between you and the Lord? I want you to think of that. And here's what God wants you to do. This is what it says to renew your strength. God wants you to take that need, which is a little package of your weakness, and he wants you to look up through eyes of faith and say, Lord, I'm patiently waiting. It's worth the wait. You determine the time frames. An answer will come in accordance with your time, but Lord, I have this need. And also know, Lord, you're infinitely strong. You're infinitely wise. You're infinitely good. As an act of faith, I bring this little bit of weakness and I give it to you. And those that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their weakness for what God promises, which is his strength. God puts it on paper. God signed his name to this promise. There's no small print down at the bottom of the contract to explain it all away. I was at a store the other day, and there's this poster up. It said, free car. I thought, okay, I'll invest my time in seeing what the poster says, free car. But when you read through the whole thing, I'm sorry, the car wasn't free. What they're trying to say, if you buy this car, it'll save you so much in gas and maintenance over all these years compared to a real high-priced car, it'll be like getting a free car. Well, maybe you could buy a less expensive car, but it ain't free. Okay, I know free when I see it, and that is not it. But there's no fine print. You have to go through. God really says this. If you wait upon the Lord, you bring your weakness to him, he will exchange it for his strength. You need some strength? Here's what you do. You make the exchange. Actively switch to his power. Make this exchange. Actively switch it over to him. And then thirdly, consistently experience this power. Consistently experience his power. Look how it ends. Look how this verse ends. Those who do that, those who wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Gonna fly. Those, not only mountaintop experiences, over the mountaintop experiences. And in Isaiah's day, an eagle had no enemies, no natural enemies. They would nest way up on the cliffs. They could soar over the landscape. No one could touch them. They were invincible, majestic, and strong. So that's what you're going to be. In modern day, in technology, they're not quite so safe as they were in Isaiah's day, but that's the picture he goes. He says, you need strength? Take your weakness to him and turn it in. Exchange it for his strength, and you will fly. But notice the next picture he paints. Not only flying, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. I have certainly spent more time running than flying, and probably you have. He's kind of bringing it down to the more routine, if you will. But notice what he says. You'll run. There's moments when it's intense and you're struggling to get through, and life is throwing at you more than you can comprehend and more than you can control. When you're overwhelmed and you feel like you're going under, you come and exchange your weakness for his strength, and what are you going to do? You're going to run, and you're not going to grow weary. By the way, apart from God's strength, that makes absolutely no sense. You run, even if you're a marathoner, you can only run so far before you get weary. You might run further than most people, but there is a limit. He says, you're going to run, you're going to keep running. And then he goes down to just the everyday. They shall walk and not faint. I've spent a whole lot more time walking than running. It's just the average of life. He brings it down to this constant, consistent status of life. Just everyday of life, find his strength. How do you do that? You bring your weakness and you cash it in for his strength as a transaction of faith, knowing how big and great God is, how weak you are, and then take this promise at face value as God has penned it into the pages of Scripture. Years ago, I had a few years' experience working in the retail industry. I really think if you ever had that opportunity every day, I mean, it's a great experience to have a little retail experience, working with the public, front line of things. I remember working in my retail experience. There were 2 days that most of us that did that didn't like to work. One was the day after Thanksgiving, because you were just going to be slammed with shoppers. The other day was the day after Christmas, when everybody brought all the stuff they bought the day after Thanksgiving back. And it's rude just to say, well, if you'd have bought the right size the first time, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You can't do that. So people bring it back. And I remember where I worked, they would set up a special series of tables because they knew there was going to be an onslaught of people. And this was the exchange counter. You bring, that tie that Uncle Henry hated, you bring it back and exchange it for something new. Or that thing that didn't work, it was broken, bring it back and exchange it for one that works. In essence, God has set up an enormous exchange counter in His establishment as He retails grace to the consumers like us. And He says, I want you to bring in your battered, broken, poor judgments, poor decisions, poor purchases, all the mess that we have, and bring them back to my counter. Knowing that I have infinite resources, knowing the mess that you are, and I want you to bring it to my exchange counter, and I want you to exchange it for my strength. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. That's the first exchange. To bring all of your sin and all of your guilt and all of your shame and to bring it before a God who sent His own Son to the cross to ensure that sin was paid for. And He invites you to come in and receive that free gift of salvation. That's the greatest exchange that could ever take place. If you need to make that exchange, as we sing or after the service, Pastor Britton will be here at the front. If you need someone to talk to and pray with, just make that need known. You can just make your way right down here if God's leading your heart. Maybe you've been a believer of the Lord for a long time or a short time, but whatever that little need is, or maybe you say, Pastor, you told me to pick out one need, but my list was very, very long. You can bring it all to God's exchange counter. You can bring it all back. And you can exchange your weakness for His strength. God is thrilled. And God is delighted when you cash in your weakness. And He supplies you with His unending strength to fly and to walk and to run. Not faint, not grow weary, to soar. God didn't design us just to wallow in our weakness. He designed us to soar in His strength. So simply this, keep the exchange counter open. Keep that process going. Bring your weakness to Him. You will find His strength sufficient. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your promise. Thank You for Your truth this morning. Thank You that, Lord, in Your wisdom, You have given us this great and precious promise. We pause to give You thanks for being the great and the mighty God that You are, a God of all strength. We give You, Lord, our free confession that we understand that we are weak and needy people. And Father, we do want to just exchange our weakness for Your strength. Lord, if it be one that's struggling in a particular area this morning, I pray, Lord, that they would sense Your Spirit touching them and leading them. Perhaps, Lord, this is a moment of breakthrough for someone in their life with You. Perhaps, Lord, this is a moment where someone that needs to trust You as Savior needs a breakthrough in that moment. Lord, help us to be people that keep the exchange counter open. And may we soar with eagles. May we run and not grow weary. May we walk and not faint. As we lean on Your promise, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.